Welcome to the Negative World Podcast, a podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 60, and we are recording this on Thursday, April 3rd, 2014. I'm your host, Steven, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joe.
Hello, Steven.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Joe, fun fact, we actually have two guests tonight, if you can believe it.
Is that even allowed? Are we?
We're breaking the mold or something. Our first guest is perhaps our newest member to the show. We have John.
Hello, everyone. My name is John, but I am also known as Hemelord in the boards. So, hey, how's it going?
Hey, glad to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here in the podcast. I've been procrastinating, and I really should have been here way earlier, and now I'm really happy that I'm actually doing that. So it's a pleasure to contribute to the forum. It's really nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate it, and it was just kind of luck that it worked out as it did today. And I know it's kind of late, you know, it's like 2 hours ahead of us right now, and we're recording this kind of late as is, so I appreciate you being up for us.
No worries. I actually sleep pretty late.
And then we also have more of a retro podcaster, you could say, our buddy Anand.
Hello, Steven. How are you today?
Love it.
I'm doing great.
Well, that's fantastic. You're a lovely lad, Steven. And you too, Joe. Okay. We're not doing English anymore? Okay.
My name's Anand. I can't sustain it.
Yeah, I was last on this podcast quite a while ago, but I'm back. I'm ready to rock.
And we're regretting every second of it. I'm just kidding, of course. Thank you guys. Thank you guys both for coming on. And you know, our plan tonight is to just talk about some games we're playing, and then we're going to jump into a little bit of discussion about Smash Brothers Wii U or 3DS, just the new Smash Brothers in general. And mainly, though, I wanted to have us talk about the Mario Kart 8 trailer and just all sorts of news that we've kind of gotten for it. You know, it's less than 2 months away now, so.
Yeah, do you know the actual date?
It's March 30th.
Did you guys pre-order it already?
I have not.
Nope.
Mario Golf is taken care of in May. I think that's May 2nd, but I have to lock it down for the Mario Kart.
I don't have a Wii U yet, but the game does seem pretty attractive. It's making me have second thoughts about buying it, and it does look pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, John, all the cool kids have a Wii U.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
Mario Golf looks pretty awesome, too.
It does.
Speaking of Mario.
Yeah. Cut his mic.
If only I could. Well, I can cut him from the call, but then it's just a hassle to get him back.
Have you guys actually seen the new trailer for Mario Golf?
I think so.
With the underwater stuff?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
No, yeah. I'm pretty psyched. Even though, you know, I didn't have it lined up to talk about, I will say it is one of my most anticipated games of, like, the past decade. So
yeah, I think they delayed it for a year just to add, like, tons and tons of stuff.
I sure hope so. Yeah, because it was due, like, almost a year ago. They were kind of talking about it, so.
Yeah, long time.
I was under the impression it was going to come out last year.
So, yeah, I think everyone was. Yeah. But I think they didn't really need it then, so they thought just let it sit in the oven for a while, because people were so kind of like, I think Mario Tennis didn't do as well because it didn't have the RPG mode.
Right.
Have you guys played that, Mario Tennis 3DS?
No.
It's actually, like, the multiplayer is awesome. So if you ever play it locally, or if you ever play with people locally, it's totally worth getting. But the single player is, like, utterly worthless. But it's worth getting for multiplayer. But Mario Golf, like, the previous courses, they weren't really that crazy. Especially the early ones, you know? They'd have, like, super fast greens or something. But this one looks pretty wacky, so I'm excited.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely be talking about that on the, if not the next podcast, then maybe the next one after that. let's jump in now, though, to Now Playing, and hear what we are playing currently. John, you know, being our newest member, please go first.
Hello, everyone. The game I've been playing recently, well, actually, it has been three games. One of them is Fire Emblem Awakening, the other is The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds, and the other one, which is the most interesting one, is Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Hell yeah!
And that is because I have never played an Animal Crossing game before, nor had any contact with the game before. I didn't even know what it's about. And it's been a really great experience for me because it's something I have never had before. When you have genres of games, you know, like platformers and RPGs and such, you know what to expect, but I never had a life simulator game like Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing. God forgive me for comparing those games or whatever for people. But I didn't even buy the game. It was a present by a person who bought the game and didn't like it, and actually, well, play the game and see if you like it. If you like, I will give it for you. And so I did. And actually, because of that, and because of the time I spent with the game unexpectedly, the name of my town is a joke name I had in the beginning, but now I just went with it. And the name of my town is Trotsky.
Trotsky?
like Russian guy?
Beautiful and tiny and functional communist town, semi-communist town. Even though
I customized the ground textures to be like hammers and sickles and stuff like that.
No. I do bricks. I do bricks and such things. I haven't dabbled too much with the costume design, with the designs, the custom designs, but I have been playing around with turnips a lot. One thing cool about the Animal Crossing is that you can interact with other people. You can go to all other towns and you can get benefits from that. And there are groups of people actually here in Brazil that are pretty big, of people who have interest in helping others and making each other's towns grow. It's just such a great community and such a fun thing to do. And I have been having a blast with building my house, making a collection of musical instruments that I have been doing, filling up my books and records for bugs and fish and sea creatures, and trying to make it all better. It's just relaxing.
Let me just say really quick, I had no idea he was going to gush about this. I did not plan that ahead, but thank you. I'm glad that someone else loves it. Sounds like just as much as I do.
I'd always heard that Brazil was like Sega Town.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they used to say, that like the Master System was played for like 15 years or something like that? It was like the only
place where it was a success. I've never heard that. That's a random Brazil rumor.
Well, the Master System... Yeah, the Master System was actually very popular because the NES only reached Brazil in 1991, pretty near when the Super Nintendo came, but the Master System came first, so people became used to it.
They're like, wow, Kid, Alex, Kid, this is blowing my mind. You can run and jump and everything. It's like a whole new world.
But yeah, Animal Crossing has been a new thing to me, and it has been a pretty great experience, and because of people like Shadowlink, actually, who was the first person who I visited in Animal Crossing, that the game just blew my mind.
He's got
little.
A nice town. Did you visit him recently?
Not really recently, but I did visit him like a month ago. And by seeing every little thing he has any time, I was like, oh my god, I gotta get those things. And it was just so good, so great.
Did you see what he's done with Blue Roses?
Yeah, he's been bringing roses like crazy.
Yeah, I stopped by his place
about it.
The other night, and he let me take some so I could kind of start my own little blue rose gardens. And the fact that he's got like the entire beach on that one side covered is quite cool looking, you know?
You know, I never really figured out, how do you do that? How do you like actively crossbreed the flowers to get new colors?
It's there's a whole science to it. You can look it up online. You just got to find out which colors.
There's an online?
Yeah. You go on. I think you go to your local library, and you find a computer that has
Dewey Decimal System.
Yep, use the Dewey Decimal System. Find a computer that has probably a red cable coming out of it. It looks like a telephone cable, and you use that to get onto the World Wide Web.
Whoa.
And when you're there, you'll be able to find wikis that will tell you, you know, what colors to breed. I think for blue roses, you actually have to breed one set, then take a bunch of that color, then breed them together again. So it's a multiple step process. Mm-hmm. Just like with gold roses, which I have a couple of in my town, you actually have to breed until you get black roses, let them wilt, and then water them back to life, and they'll turn gold. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. But he's got a ton of blue roses kind of covering his town, and it's pretty cool. And that's cool, John, that you got to check it out. I still actually play pretty actively. I've been a little behind, but I'll have to get you to my town too. It's not nearly as cool as his, but you know, it's something else.
Do you keep it open like every night or something? Like people used to do that back in the day, right?
No. No. I open it only for my girlfriend, pretty much, unless someone asks me to. Just because
that's so romantic, Steven.
I know. No, I still. I mean, people might remember that romantic room that I made, the date room.
Yep.
And
turkey.
Yeah, with the turkey and everything, and I still have that. I refuse to dismantle it ever. I did add like the chocolate heart from Valentine's Day that I got and stuff, so it's even more mushy and stupid, and I love it. But yeah, so
it's those little details in Animal Crossing that make me like it so much.
Yeah, so John, right here on the podcast, I'm going to ask you to come see my date room.
Sure.
That sounds kind of dangerous, John. I don't know. I heard he only opens it up for his girlfriend, but you know, I've heard some other things, like you know, yeah.
Definitely stranger.
To date.
You want some chocolate heart? Come have some turkey. It's laced with tryptophan.
I would have went there, but I was laughing too hard. Very nice. Any other thoughts you want to make, John, before we move forward?
Well, I'm very happy with the game. I am excited to see what new things it still has to offer. And, well, I'm now more open-minded for games I didn't play before, so that's nice. And, well, that's my experience on Animal Crossing. It's something new and something nice, and it's something unexpected, which is very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Well, these are my thoughts. So, yeah.
Back to you, Joe. You know, one thing I want to ask you then, one last thing. You're talking about relaxation, and the game is very relaxing. I've always loved the series for the music. Have you had a chance to listen to, like, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., like, the late hours of the evening? Those tracks?
Or do they say, like...
They're my favorite.
Yeah. Really?
Two through four are my favorite, yeah.
My town, Ordinances. My town Ordinance is actually set up to the night hour one.
Yeah,
the one
too.
You can stay, everybody stay up to 2, 3 a.m. and you can sell stuff to read until 2 a.m. So it's very nice. And when I play Animal Crossing, it's usually early in the morning and late in the night. I have too much stuff in the day, so I can't really get too much into it and see the afternoon things.
Right.
But on free days, such as Sunday, I did see the game at all times and listen to the song at each and every hour. But my favorite ones are definitely the night ones. And
yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're awesome.
The game is very, very relaxing. It has a very,
and actually,
very nice
recently, what holiday was it? It was essentially the Mardi Gras holiday. I can't remember what they call it, but Pave the Peacock is there, and the music that day was pretty good.
Carnival. It was a pretty frantic day for me because you just kept running around and like, oh, I gotta get all the feathers,
That wore thin quick. Yeah, you had to throw beads at, yeah. That's not what happened.
I have
missed, like, every meaningful holiday special activity in that game.
So have I. I always prepare for them, like, on the...
Me too.
On Halloween. Like, I bought every single fucking Halloween theme, whatever. I got all these tickets. And then on the day of Halloween, I just, like, whoop.
Yep.
And then the next day, I was like, fuck!
Somewhere around
April
November
Fool's
3rd.
Was pretty cool, actually. I think... April Fool's was the same as in City Folk, but I never played it in City Folk, so I didn't know. But in April Fool's, it had to be different, I think. Well, Blanca, you guys remember her or whatever.
From Street Fighter, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, right.
There's Electric.
Nice Three. One. Blanca walks around without its face, and eventually you go into someone's house, you know, a neighbor, and there'll be two of them, and then you talk to them, and they're both freaking out. And saying the other one is an imposter.
Where's my face?
And then based on like a simple fact of like when their birthday is or like their catchphrase, that kind of thing, you have to decipher who's the wrong and who's the right person. And
that's kind of awesome.
It is pretty awesome. It made for a lot of great screen captures, you know.
That's what they should do on Halloween. Like everyone should just like lose their face. Just be really eerie.
That would freak me out.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I thought it was Bianca, but Blanca makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I thought it was Blanca. I don't know.
I think it is.
But yeah, so, Joe, were you saying something, or?
Oh, no, just that, well, you were talking about the propensity for creepiness, and that's kind of one thing that was so cool about Animal Crossing is you can really make the game into whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's Chris99 on the forum that, like, his town, you go to his town, and it's like a horror movie in there.
Mm-hmm.
Lovable old Animal Crossing. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. How much effort does it take to, like, reskin stuff and do those kind of custom tiles and things like that?
It takes a little doing. It depends on how intricate you want to get with it.
I mean, like, yeah. Suppose you're somebody who's completely artistically untalented. Like, D-minus is an art your whole life.
Anand, are you talking about yourself here?
Maybe. Perhaps. Like, how much
or is it your friend?
And again, you could just QR code everything. Get a QR code and just...
True.
Right. Yeah. I was just going to suggest, you know, looking at templates online, but yeah, QR codes is kind of the new age way to do that. But yeah, cool. Okay. So, if anyone has anything else to say, say it now or forever hold your peace.
Animal Crossing, how much have you guys been playing this one compared to the previous ones? Like, has the series kind of grown on you more or, like, less with each?
It was, this was my first one as well.
Oh, so you probably liked
it. And it was, I believe, my game of the year 2013. So,
yeah, and I've been playing since the very first one. Back when it was before it was even in the States, and it was called Dobutsu no Mori.
Did you play the Japanese version?
No. But I'm saying back when that was coming out, I was aware of this game and I was pretty much in love with it. So, as far as how it compares to the other ones, though, this is absolutely my favorite. I've never actually played a Animal Crossing all the way through the year, and I'm still playing it now. I'm checking right now, I have 517 hours in the game since June 10th. So that is something.
That's like rivaling my Monster Hunter play. It's pretty impressive, Steven.
Yeah, I actually can't believe it either. Jeez. But I mean, part of it was I think because I had my girlfriend to play with this time. I guess my cousin, I think, had a copy of the game back in the day, but I never really had someone to regularly go visit or share items with. And especially back before we had all those KK Slider songs, we would always, every Saturday, go to each other's towns and get two songs each, that kind of thing.
Do you like the fact that you can just buy them now?
Hell yes.
Take away some of the specialists.
No, it doesn't. Because you don't have to buy them. You know, if you still want to get them from KK himself, you can, but considering there's over 50-some songs, if you only have your character, it will take you over a year to get them. So I think it's fair to have a shot at getting them other ways. Plus, I think it allows for the album art, which is actually pretty cool. My main room, ever since I built it, has always had KK Slider art on the walls. I've got like 15, 16 pieces, which is why I don't have a lot of furniture, because the max amount of items in a room is maxed out quicker than normal because of that. I think.
I didn't know you could put them on the walls.
Oh yeah, you can display them like a painting on an easel, I think, or you can hang them on the wall. So, I have the one. There's one song where it looks like KK Slider's kind of sleeping, or it looks like a dream or something. Got that above the bed back in the day. You know, did a little feng shui in that sense. Yes. But yeah, totally love it. I just wish there was more songs, even though they upped it this time around again. So.
Did they use the same songs as last time? Or
yeah, pretty much all, if not all of them, then most of them from the previous games were in it, and then they had like five new ones, maybe.
Have you ever seen the guy play the songs on guitar? Like the guy who it's based on?
Tataka?
Yeah. Tataka. That's what it
was. Was it Kenji?
Kazumi Tataka.
Or Kenta?
Yeah.
Oh, Kazumi. Kazumi, there you go. Yeah. Yep.
Kazumi Tataka.
Yeah, so, no, it's I never actually... Awesome, like,
That have you ever seen him play like acoustic guitar and just sort of hum the songs?
No.
You should like YouTube it or Google it or whatever.
I'm not going to go to bed tonight because I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Well, you won't go to bed for the 6 minutes it takes you to view all the performances total of him doing that. But it's pretty cool.
Touche.
It's pretty awesome.
But hey, let's move on. Let's move forward. Anand, you have not really been playing too much.
Yeah, my segment's gonna be like, what you been buying?
Okay, well, what you been buying, man?
I've been buying a lot of stuff, Steven. I'm not gonna lie to you. Actually, I will lie to you. I haven't been buying a lot of stuff.
I don't know what's real anymore.
So basically, I kind of like rediscovered Amazon.uk. Like, how much do you guys import?
By the way,
stuff?
You're far from the UK right now. but
I'm pretty far.
I've only imported technically the latest Zelda because of Plute.
The latest Zelda, which one is that?
Link Between Worlds.
Oh, you imported from Canada?
Yep. So I could get that. I wanted to get the treasure chest.
That doesn't count, Steven. It's still in English.
Well, I bought it from a Best Buy that's probably within a 30-mile radius from my house, just across the water.
So you never imported like other stuff?
No.
Because it's a pretty awesome resource. I don't know. How about the rest of you guys?
Nope.
John, have you ever imported something from the U.S.?
Well, yes. Every and each game we have here are the ones you have there. Actually imported from the U.S. And because of that, we get pretty high taxes because the games are not produced here or not meant to be here, pretty much. And that's just because of nitpicky laws and
stupid. What do you mean? You guys are like the only country that's making money in the whole world. Suck it up.
Oh, well, yeah. But the bad thing is that games are actually expensive here, and because of that, I actually import all games. And, well, as importing, I mean, getting people who are traveling abroad, like, you're going to New York, so could you maybe bring that game to me and stuff like that. So many of my games are actually brought by people.
And oh, really?
If not, yeah. That's how I got Link Between Worlds. That's how I got Pokemon. That's how I got Fire Emblem. That's how I got Luigi's Mansion. That's got a bunch of games.
So what's the price difference?
The price difference is like this. A dollar is worth around a little bit more than 2 reais. And a brand new 3DS game here would cost 150 reais, and that would be around $70, $70, and that's really overpriced. And when we say here, well, what's the minimum wage there? So it's still very expensive, very costly. It's not affordable, and many people rant about it. But it comes to a point where sometimes it's just worth buying it here because just traveling and really legally importing games would be even more expensive. So what we do is just like bring games over here and say the games are yours, and that's what people mostly do, and that's what I do with my friends. I don't really sell them. That's just the way I get by. So if not like that, I get secondhand games, or well, just buy them here and save my cash. But yeah, I do import games a lot. That is one of my second natures as a gamer. It's like the way we survive.
We should start like a cartel or something to bring in games from America, sell them for cheaper prices. We could get like mules, like teenage girls to eat the games. Those 3DS cards are pretty small. We could shit them out in like a plastic bag or something.
Hey, what kind of world do you live in?
Cut his mic again.
Yeah. You know, I just checked right now on Google. I don't know how you were pronouncing them. Sorry, the currency of Brazil, but 91.16 of the Brazilian whatevers.
How?
There
Brazilian
that,
whatevers.
is equivalent to $39.99 US. So a DS game would cost 91 of your currency, which from what you were telling me about like what minimum wage is over there and everything, that's quite a big markup. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Is the minimum wage pretty low in Brazil?
Yeah, it's not that much, and the potential use of that money is not very big either, so no, the minimum wage is not good.
Yeah.
Nope, it's not. That's like a whole another topic, another subject, another
podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Lifetime.
We're talking about games here and how about they're cool and stuff.
It's like the fourth hour of this episode, probably.
Maybe. So, like, you know, I import games once in a while because with the earlier handheld systems like the GBA and the DS and stuff like that, they could play import games. And, you know, like, I don't know how much you guys pay for a game. I usually don't pay too much more than, like, maybe $15, $20 or something. And I used to, you know, check stores like PlayAsia, and you could find some really interesting stuff for like $5, $10, $15, you know? Mm-hmm. Like bands.
Yeah, we use PlayAsia here a lot too.
Yeah, do you? You get stuff from Japan?
Yeah, we get stuff from Japan and China and stuff. Well, actually, we can get games that were meant to be games for the US, and we can buy it PlayAsia and
risk. Oh, and
risk.
It's cheaper, huh?
Yeah, and it comes a lot cheaper, and well, we risk, it's a risky measure because it may get imported, it may get taxed, it may not. So, but the reward is so nice that it's worth taking the risk. And if there weren't any other option, you just would have paid the same amount otherwise. So it's just worth it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, you guys were never tempted. You like music games, right? You were never tempted to get Jam with the Band or Band Brothers or anything like that. One of those kind of really famous games that never came over.
I just don't really have much of a understanding of what's going on outside of, the North American markets or your usual Nintendo favorites.
Oh, you don't keep up with that stuff? But a lot of them were supposed to be coming here, and then they just didn't, right?
I would have gotten, what was it, like, I think The Last Story or, you know, like some of those. If they had never come over, that would have been the time.
Well, those are a little harder to play. So Wii games, you had to actually mod your Wii.
Oh, I would have been okay with that. In that,
see, the last import game I actually wanted was Giftpia.
I wanted Giftpia too. It's Skip, right?
Yeah, and it never came out besides Japan, which is a damn shame. It sounded very interesting. It was like Animal Crossing, to an extent, but it was more of a linear experience, and you pretty much played a guy who got thrown in jail, and you had to work off your issues by doing chores and like
for Tom Nook,
sort of, yeah. But but it was just fascinating. The music, the soundtrack was really cool, and the whole concept was kind of reminded me of Little King Story.
Yeah, I remember
graphically,
but it looked kind of charming and funny. Right?
Yeah, it was totally wonderful, and it never came out. Never even saw like a European localization or anything.
And I remember when that game specifically was like $5 on PlayAsia.
Oh, jeez!
Like, wouldn't you just picked it up?
Hell yeah, I would just put it on my just put it on like a shelf somewhere.
And a lot of my games I got for around that price, like Nintendo Puzzle Collection, that Japan only puzzle game that was supposed to come here but never did. It's got 4-player Yoshi Tetris Attack and 4-player Dr. Mario and all that stuff.
Sweet.
And it's got connectivity and just other stuff like that, like Her in Paradise for the GameCube and stuff like that. I don't know. But PlayAsia doesn't have such great deals anymore, but there's still some interesting stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that hasn't come here. Unfortunately, the 3DS is region locked. So even with the Wii, you had to mod it to play those games, which you can do, but it's an additional step. But with the handheld stuff, it was so easy, because basically you just import a game and you can play it right away, and most times you can understand it right away and stuff like that. And like Giftpia, you were saying, that looked interesting. Didn't that Captain Rainbow also look interesting?
Yeah, I didn't see enough of that to really understand what the hell is going on.
It's basically just like the most obscure Nintendo characters. Skip just took the most obscure Nintendo characters and made a game sort of just based around episodic adventures involving them.
That's cool.
Like Birdo was like arrested at some transvestite sex club or something.
Well, that sounds like every Friday night.
Really?
Yeah, you should like look it up. I don't know if that actually happened. But
and so Captain Rainbow was a character kind of tying it all together.
Yeah, Captain Rainbow's. I have no idea. I always kind of wanted to get it, and I never did, and I'm just filled with regret every single day that I didn't.
Every
day. Sounds hilarious. Yeah. And it's like, I don't really speak. I kind of want to learn Japanese just so I don't have to, you know, try to muddle through or wait for a translation or something.
That was the time frame when I was studying Japanese, and that was part of the reason I took it in school and continued it in college.
How much did you take then?
I took a few semesters. But I just never ended up sticking with it because I didn't really have people to communicate with and focus on a lot of other things at the same time. So I can still read some and I can still kind of write some too. But speaking it was just never my strong suit.
So you know the interesting thing is like I could kind of read a little bit and I could speak a little bit, but I couldn't write very well. Mm-hmm. And then I just realized one day I don't have to write. I can just be like an illiterate Japanese guy. All I gotta do is read video games and, you know, read comic books and whatever.
Yeah,
write.
Yeah.
It's like the worst Simpsons character ever. Illiterate Japanese guy.
Anyway, so what was this topic about? What were we talking
about? Okay, you were telling us about how you've been buying things and not playing them. So
right. So imported games. So, like, I went to Amazon.uk and I don't know why. I just ended up there because I was looking for some obscure music stuff that was only released in England. Big in Japan, rock bands. And, I was like, what games? You know, what games were there that were in Europe but never came over to America? And so I got Pokemon Teaches Typing.
That exists. That's awesome.
It exists, and it comes with a free Bluetooth keyboard, which is like a nice Bluetooth keyboard that you can use with anything else.
No, and what platform is that for?
That is the DS.
All right, you should like bring that along on Sunday.
Maybe I will, Steven. Yeah,
I would like to try that.
See? You could enter this wonderful world of buying stupid shit from Amazon.uk. And so it's basically like typing in the dead, except with Pokemon.
And you catch them if you type things right?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't actually played it, like I said. I just buy stuff.
Fair point, I should have known that.
No, I am going to open it. It just came a couple days ago. But it's so exciting seeing the thing with the customs and, you know, from England. Jolly old England. What? And,
on the box. This came from Jolly Old England.
It did, yeah. It had like a Union Jack.
WareRare and other people are hating me for that right now.
Yeah, English people hate everybody. But, I'm just kidding, of course. I love you guys.
They do now. Jesus.
I love my cruel overlords.
Anyway, so
I got that, and it comes with a free Bluetooth keyboard, and that was like 12 pounds or something like that, which is like 20
That's
bucks.
A heavy keyboard.
But yeah.
That was pretty good, Joe.
Man.
You know.
Wish and, I had a drum set in my room.
And what else did I get? Oh, and I got Kuru Kuru Kurin.
I've heard of that.
Have you heard of it? How come?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I've heard of it.
Maybe you heard of it from me.
No, I feel like I've read it and stuff. What kind of game is that? Is that a puzzle game?
Yeah, it's kind of like an action sort of puzzle game. It's basically...
is it the line thing?
Like, yeah, there's like a genre called irritating stick.
Yeah, okay, yep, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a constantly rotating stick. Yeah, it's a pretty famous genre.
I feel like that was a genre for kids back in like the 50s too, with just like
yeah, really.
Branches from trees. You just smack your friend. Irritating stick.
Just like what's a genre? Rods or something like that. Hey, Timmy, you want to come and play irritating stick? Anyway,
shouldn't
so
be that
like,
funny, but it is.
So basically, it's this stick that's always spinning, and you have to navigate it through these mazes, and you can't really turn the stick around unless you hit like a spring or something. And you can only speed up the rotation of the stick. And it's pretty awesome. And
I'm amazed there's a whole genre to it.
Yeah, like they had them on the PlayStation, and then they had them on the GBA, and then they just disappeared forever. And there was actually Aiding that used to make them.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys know about Aiding.
No.
But they make fighting games and stuff. But so I ordered that stuff, and it's just kind of fun, important stuff. And I would recommend, even though you can't really do it anymore with the 3DS.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool. And I also got that Yumi's Odd Odyssey. You guys know about that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That was a Japanese-only 3DS game called Umihara Kawase. It's like an old series. It's kind of like Bionic Commando, except kind of not. So you have like a fishing rod, which has an elastic line on it. And you can kind of use it as a grappling hook and bounce around. And the whole thing's kind of based around that. So I had imported the DS game from Japan, which is pretty good. And then I got the new one, which actually was localized, but only on the eShop.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just pulled that up.
Yeah, so I haven't tried that one yet, but the old DS game is pretty good. So
there's a lot of fish with legs.
Yep. And I also tried Mario Party 3DS. Have any of you guys tried that yet?
No.
Nope.
So,
I've been curious. I've never had a handheld Mario Party experience.
Well, Mario Party GBA is kind of supposed to be pretty shitty. I went a little bit, I didn't play it that much. But it's like one player, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly.
It's not half player.
Yeah. And then, Mario Party DS is actually awesome. It's really good.
I have played that, actually.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, some people had the game, or maybe just one person had the game, and then a bunch of us just did the download play, which was sweet.
It's so awesome.
It was pretty fun.
You can play off of one cartridge, you can play with
four
people, and the load times aren't bad, and there's there's a surprising variety of games in that thing, and they always use the capabilities of the system, at least the handheld version. So they use like the touchscreen and blowing and all that fun stupid stuff. Go ahead.
How's the single player experience?
I mean, it's Mario Party. It's never going to be actually.
But I don't know. I feel like, and maybe I'm just one of those guys like dreaming of a better time that didn't exist. But with Mario Party 1, I think even though you know it would burn holes in your hand. I remember there being like a special mode that was, you'd almost just kind of go along a single pathway, beating each mini game, and they were increasingly harder. And that was like a pretty cool twist on the single player experience. It allowed you to get everything.
The mini game island.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it was.
There's always.
I remember, Yeah, I remember that in the at the start, you would pick which character would be your partner for every single minigame. Mm-hmm. You were like in a raft and go to island. It's pretty nostalgic for me.
Yeah,
I think all of them have some sort of single player thing. Like the new Mario Party 3DS has this battle tower where you rise up this tower beating Bowser's minions, like the bosses and boss fights, and playing minigames against like cloned bubble characters or something. And it's like every time you climb a level of tower, there's like fucking like a minute long cutscene that's the same thing of him just walking around the tower and then like, oh, it's another level.
Is that like a hidden load screen or something?
No, it's just really, really badly thought out. You can tell it doesn't need to load.
That happens on a Nintendo game sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like they do that a little too much these days with the long, extended sort of, you know, chatty chats or that kind of thing. But, you know, it's not bad, the 3DS one. It's pretty cool. It also uses all the features of the system, including AR. Which, like, has there ever been a fun AR game made in the history of the world?
No.
Maybe not yet, no.
And every single, like, mini game that came preloaded on the 3DS just came in my head, and still no.
Yeah, that was like one of the rare cases where Nintendo just didn't really bring the fun.
It was cool for literally the first 20 minutes, maybe. And that was it.
And they're using that to sell their system along with, like, Steel Diver, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty fun. Maybe I'll bring it. Maybe we'll try it or something. But I'm sure it'll be pretty fun multiplayer. Yeah, so that's what I've been buying and somewhat playing recently. So we should probably move on.
Cool. We'll keep using all your money on games that you won't touch, and you know, we'll have you back to see how that's progressed. You know, actually, a quick aside, not to interject. I Twitter occasionally has me talking to new people. And I actually made a friend on there from Australia, and she was complaining about her backlog, and she posted a picture of it, and holy crap, that you could fill like an entire truck bed of the games that she still has to play across like all systems. I couldn't believe it. And she's probably more closer to John's age, us presuming the Negative World profile is correct, but...
She's not closer to my Negative World age of 96 or
No, she's not. No. But she's definitely
it's amazing for me when I see people with shelves of games that they didn't play, they bought it. It was just like $10 on GameStop, and I bought it because it looked cool, but I don't have time to play it, and then I look at it like
and then
I'm literally listening to you guys sitting back on the couch and staring at my shelves of unplayed games.
I guarantee you are, yeah.
And they're still wrapped even. They're like in plastic.
No, I think I unwrapped the last story just to say that I did.
But I used to unwrap stuff just to like fetishize over the manuals and stuff. Back when games had manuals and they weren't just like made in eco cases with just like
biodegradable paper that just ate itself within 3 weeks.
It's kind of shitty. But, I mean, not like manuals actually do anything, but at least you felt like they were kind of given some kind of effort.
Well, I grew up, you know, eating dinner at the table with the manual of the new game I got, reading it like...
Of course, yeah.
I remember, you know, intricately watching the... Or not watching, but reading the diagrams of how Mario moved in Super Mario 64, you know?
Like, or like when you get F-Zero or Mario Kart, you have like the fold-out like thing that shows you what all the different turns do.
Totally. No, yeah, it's awesome. It was a better time.
Cloth maps.
But, speaking of better times and good times, Joe, what have you been playing, man?
Well, good time? I haven't been playing all that much. I will very quickly say, so my wife and I started Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy. But started is really the key word there, because we've done about maybe 3 or 4 puzzles.
Are you doing it together or something?
Yes. Oh, yes. We always play them together. We always huddle around the dual screen. And,
should get one of those like Game Boy screens that just kind of blows it up a little bit.
Those are awesome.
Get like a couple of those for the 3DS. And
well, you know, the luxurious 3DS XL actually makes it not so bad. So, so that's what we were planning on. But you know, really, I bring it up mostly just to see if you guys have interest in the series or experience with the series. Because I will say, having just played a little bit of it, you know, it doesn't try to break the mold, I don't think. Now, for me, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think that the series is excellent, and I kind of am totally at peace with knowing what I'm getting when I buy and play the game, because I think that's still a rather rare experience just across gaming. But so yeah, what do you, I mean, do you guys have you played any of them or interest in this one or what?
Well, no, I never played a Professor Layton game before. I know they are the puzzle genre, and people say it's pretty great, has a very nice story and charming visuals and all. Mm-hmm. But I'm still yet to play it. I'm actually very excited to buy my first Professor Layton game, but people say, well, no, play the DS games first because, well, they were out first and maybe they're better. Well,
yeah,
many
but the,
mixed
the new
opinions.
Ones are prequels, right? So you can play them in sequence.
Right.
Like watching the first Star Wars movies first.
It goes like 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3 in terms of chronology, I think.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah. But luckily for you, I mean, if you've never played a single one, you pretty much can just take your pick, and it'll be a fresh, fun experience. I mean, I think the sets of three did link up together, although I never played some of the other earlier ones. But
they don't even really all that much, to be perfectly honest. there's you know, one or two characters outside of Luke, Leighton, and Emmy, who are the main three. And outside of them, there's only a couple characters that even reoccur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really the events that take place inside any given game, there's no way you would be confused if you hadn't played the previous one or right. anything. So you really could start wherever you feel like. I do think that because the story is one of the big draws for me, you know, being able to see just, you know, the totality of all their adventures does add to it. You know, I'm glad that it's not like a reboot every time with completely new characters or anything, but you really could start wherever you want.
But I could
Didn't
totally
make a movie or something. Or...
Yes, they did, and that does technically fit in the standard chronology. But again, you could watch that anywhere.
You would never recommend someone play them all in a row, though, right? I mean, with that, I find myself fatigued whenever, like, I played this most recent one, Miracle Mask, for me. I played that kind of, I mean, not immediately after, but I felt it was one of its flaws was that it was too soon. And so, while I do want this new one, the Azran Legacy, especially considering it ties almost most, like, the story, I think, is linked more so than other games to the previous one. At least with how kind of the ending ties into it, it allows it to progress almost like a continuous flow, I felt. And, I still just want to make sure I hold off on it. It's my game of this Christmas or, you know, November, my birthday, I'll maybe go for it. But I don't want to touch it before then because I love the puzzle aspect, but sometimes the story and the storytelling can bog me down, honestly.
I think people do get fatigued on them rather quickly. I don't, but that does seem to be the exception.
I mean, that's something you can control, though, right? Like, when you buy the next one or play the next one or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's up to me to kind of play when I'm ready, I think.
I mean, like, unless you're stupid like me and you buy five of them without ever finishing the first one. But, like, I actually did. So I finally wanted to actually buckle down and finish some games. So on the train for like a week or two, I just went through the first Layton game. Mm-hmm. And at first, it didn't really grab me. It never really grabbed me. Like, I mean, I liked the puzzles, and the story was kind of interesting, but I didn't think they really combined together in any, like, meaningful way, you know?
Well, it's almost... part of the entertaining bit is just how disjointed the puzzles are in the fiction, because it's always like, oh my god, the room is on fire.
Yeah.
Help me solve this unrelated puzzle to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the biathlon of games. It's just like, what? Okay.
Or even if it's a mundane task, like if they're lost in town and need directions, it's like, oh, will you give us directions? Of course, but first could you solve this puzzle for me? If I have 8 apples and an orangutan has 7 apples, it's like
it is kind of amusing. But then somehow, like, it really kind of grew on me, and I was totally digging towards the end, and I enjoyed the last cutscene. I was like, hey, this is a pretty great series. I'm gonna keep going with this, you know. So then I was gonna play the Diabolical Box, or is that what it's called? Yeah. Diabolical Mask.
Diabolical Box.
Diabolical Legacy.
I think it's called Pandora's Box in Europe, though. I want to say. Anyway.
Perhaps it is. I don't know.
Same game, though.
I don't know enough to disprove you or prove you, but yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good series. I just have to get back to it. Do you guys ever? Like, where do you play your DS? It seems like you play it at home then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't have much of a transit lifestyle. Like, I don't take a bus anywhere. I don't take a train anywhere. So, yeah, the portability of the system never really becomes a factor.
How about you other guys? Do you ever carry it around with you?
Yeah, I do carry my 3DS with me whenever I can, because my time is sort of dangerous, so I don't like to risk it. But there are many events, and, well, whenever I go to see a friend and hang out, I bring my 3DS. Whenever there's a family meeting or whatever, I bring my 3DS, and I enjoy the heck out of it. Actually, much of my time playing Animal Crossing comes from the time in between activities, as in, I'm studying somewhere. Then it's lunch break, and then I just go have some lunch. And while there, I'm going to water my flowers in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bring mine with me pretty much everywhere I can, too. I do play it a little bit, you know, at work on lunch break or in the morning, sometimes on the commute, depending on if I'm driving or not. If I'm driving, obviously I don't, but I carpool, so... So it kind of works out that I can kind of mess around in there a little bit. It's generally, I find, not that easy to play out in the wild because of, like, lighting conditions or something.
The new screens are pretty bad for the sunlight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very reflective, and then also if you're in a moving vehicle, bounces can make, you know, precise gaming pretty challenging. Like with the game I'm going to talk about in a second, Pokemon Battle Troze, you know, you got to be quick and you have to be precise with that stylus. And so I just kind of gave up trying to play that while in motion. I need to be like plopped on my bed.
The 3D is probably pretty horrible too.
Actually, that game has no 3D, weirdly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
But is that because it uses 2 screens?
I don't think so. I think it's just laziness. But
this could be the perfect segue into your topic.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's anything else you want to mention on it, or should I move on?
There's always something on the mission.
All right, then screw that. I won't give you an option. We'll move on to my game. Like I said, I've been playing Pokemon Battle Troze. I was really psyched for it. I'm not really sure why. I think the art was just really appealing to me. And downloaded it, and I've pretty much loved it. Pretty much what it is, it's a puzzle game in the similar vein to Yoshi's Cookie, kind of. You know, you got to match 3, that kind of thing. And stuff falls from the top of your little arena. But what's neat is that you pretty much you're fighting Pokemon every time you have a new board, and you fight multiple Pokemon in a series, and you are moving around Pokemon and matching Pokemon as well. So what's relevant about this is that you can actually use type advantages and disadvantages to your behalf. So if you're fighting a Squirtle, you might want to bring in, you know, Bulbasaur or a Pikachu, which are both going to be strong against the water type. And you don't have to defeat it that way. In fact, you could beat it with a fire type, really, but it would just take longer, and you'd take more damage, probably. And so it's pretty cool. There's a bit of a strategy there. So if you really liked Pokemon for the core strategy of type matching, this game is definitely for you. If you like puzzle games in general, this game's definitely for you. One criticism that I've found as I've read about it, and even I've had to a degree myself, is that, you know, Tetris, for example, is a game where you're piecing everything into a very precise fit, and then it's constantly changing, and the board's not just, like, you know, flat all the time. You have different things that pop up. Bad way of describing it, I guess. But other puzzle games, like Dr. Mario, similar way. You know, colors are different, everything. Here, actually, that's a horrible way of describing it, but here, while you do have different Pokemon, what you're doing is you're trying to match four or more up to four or six, because the grid is a 6x6. And when you do that, you want to quickly match three or more. And when that happens, a troze happens, which is where now anything that matches two or more will clear itself from the board. And you try to do that, and you try to clear the board entirely. When that happens, it'll refresh, and you'll continue your combo. And that's pretty much it. Like, that's how you win matches, by getting these trozes and getting these combos up. That's how you defeat the Pokemon quickly. In some cases, to make certain Pokemon appear, you have to actually activate the troze and get like a 20 or 30 plus combo. And so that can kind of dumb down the core gameplay to a very simple single task, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, the old one was like that too. It's kind of less strategic, but it's also kind of like action-y and kind of exciting.
Yeah, and I've appreciated it for that, so I haven't really had too much to gripe about. And I still have that aspect of being so, having such a strong desire to capture every Pokemon, to catch them all. And I've got over 60% of the Pokemon captured so far.
How many are there in the game?
Every single one.
What is that now, like 1,000?
No, 10, it's in the 700s.
Jesus. Yeah.
718.
718.
Yeah,
so, you know, there's a lot to do, but they do kind of run through pretty quickly. Most stages early on have at least 4 to 6 or 7. Many of them are hidden. You know, you have to defeat this guy with a super effective attack, you know, without giving him a chance to attack you or whatever, that sort of thing. Or in a couple instances, if you bring a certain Pokemon with you, like if you bring an Eevee with you, once you finally unlock Eevee, because every time you defeat a Pokemon, it's yours to keep. Even if you fail the level before you've completed it, which is really nice. So, you know, once you have Eevee, you can go back a few levels and replay that one, and then Leafeon will show up, you know, out of nowhere, because you have Eevee with you. And to mention, to clarify what bringing Pokemon with you means, you can actually select Pokemon to come with you, so you can bring in type advantages that you know you're going to need. Whether you look it up online or you just go through experience and you realize, okay, this level has a lot of dark Pokemon, I'm going to want to bring like a fairy Pokemon or whatever strong against it. And so that's pretty cool. You know, you start off with one slot, which is nice in itself, but then it expands to two eventually, and then eventually expands to three. And in fact, to get, I think it's the electric, water, and fire versions of Eevee, you actually have to bring...
I love that band.
You have to bring Pokemon of the type advantages that would actually, you know, beat a water Pokemon and electric Pokemon. You have to actually defeat the previous Pokemon with that advantage, then you'll get, you know, the Eevee version of that type. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't think I'd want to sit through it and play each level constantly trying to figure out how to unlock stuff. I mean, I admit that I've been using Siribi.net to kind of just, you know, yeah, just expedite that part of it.
Is it just random? Like, you just bring some random Pokemon and then you get some other random Pokemon? Or is it always that if you bring, like, a strong type against another weak type, and you'll get a new one or something?
There's definitely a logic to it, and it's definitely the same for everybody, so it's not like it's different depending on who's playing.
Because otherwise that would just be irritating.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, it's still a little irritating, though, because it's not always obvious. And I don't know, I just don't find fun in that. I mean, I have a limited time to play games these days. You know, blame getting older and having more responsibilities, but I'd rather not spend time trying to figure that out. I'd rather just actually get the experience of playing the games and trying to capture the Pokemon, so... But it's pretty fun, and I think it was $7.99, so $8 isn't too bad.
Yeah, the original game was like $30, which is probably less full featured.
Well, I feel like that's how this probably came to be. They realized, you know, we can't sell this shit for $30, so let's just do it for $8.
We already sold it for $30. Let's sell the shit again. Actually, why don't they bring back Yoshi's Touch and Go as an eShop title?
Yeah, maybe they will. I mean,
it's so good, and they can release it for cheaper, and maybe people.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's probably one of the best touch-based games like around. Period. It's innovative and it's super fun and it's like a good scoring mechanic and skill-based. I love that game.
Yeah.
So, did you guys ever play Pokemon Pinball?
Oh yeah! Oh my god! I would love a Pokemon Pinball on the eShop.
That was pretty addictive, too.
Yeah, it was. Oh, my gosh. Even though
you unlock the stuff in the same way every time, but it's, you know, it's just kind of exciting getting in there.
It was colorful, it was fun, and it has the same kind of
when
addiction.
When did that come out? In what system?
There's two of them. There's one on the GBC that was GBC? Yeah. That was a Rumble cartridge. One of the few Rumble cartridges.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also Perfect Dark had a Rumble cartridge. It was like a 2D version. And on the GBC. And then they made a GBA game. And a lot of people like the GBC game better, but I don't know why. They're both pretty fun. Pretty much.
Yeah, I liked Ruby and Sapphire on the what was it? You said GBA, right?
Was it Ruby and Sapphire?
Yeah, it was definitely a Ruby and Sapphire themed game, the sequel, and focus on those Pokemon and everything. I liked it better. It was just a nice progression. But both games are awesome, and I would love to see that back.
Oops.
Sonic Spinball is what made me love franchise themed pinball games. I don't really dig regular pinball, but give me a Sonic or a Mario or a Pokemon, and I'd probably be there.
What do you think about that new sort of like the Zen pinball sort of like licensed things like the Marvel tables?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I appreciate it and I wanted to enjoy it. But I just don't really dig Marvel too much. I'm not too big
into
that.
They have a lot of, it's not just Marvel, right? They have Star Wars.
I don't know. I would like my themes to come from gaming, I guess. I don't know. It's a pointless distinction, but, it hasn't caught my eye, I guess, because it hasn't had, like Little King Story Pinball, as frustrating as that boss battle was, almost more interesting to me. But
how about what is that game with the came with the microphone? Odama.
Oh, I don't remember. I've heard of that game. I can't remember.
You know what it is? It's by the guy from who made Seaman.
Oh,
Yut Saito.
Oh.
And it's a Nintendo published game, and it came with a microphone, and it was supposed to come with the bongos, and it's a pinball war game. And when it first released, you were supposed to like drum the bongos to rally your troops.
Yeah.
And then shout at them and be playing pinball at the same time. But I don't think it supported the bongos at the end.
Okay. After that trip down memory lane, let's just move on though, because I want to get to our main topics if you guys don't mind. Yep. So we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Smash Brothers. I want to hear what John has to say. He wanted to get some stuff off his chest, and then we'll talk about some Mario Kart. Sound good?
Yep.
All right.
Sure.
All right, and we're back. John, I know you got a lot of opinions on the Smash Brothers, so let's just jump right in. What are you thinking about this game?
Well, first off, I think the game looks gorgeous. One of the things I want to talk about is how the characters look in this game. Not only the models, they look like they have so much care put into them, but also the game is so much colorful now. And the characters are just so much expressive, and you can see that in the new images that keep being uploaded by Sakurai and by his updates. Another thing we would like to talk about this game is how some new mechanics are being implemented, as in the new characters, such as the Little Mac. He now shrugs off small attacks when he does his moves, and that's pretty interesting, especially because from the transition from Super Smash Bros. Melee to Super Smash Bros. Brawl, people complained because the game didn't have as many aspects of a serious fighter, maybe, and that just made many people upset, and many people just didn't care and liked the game regardless, and that's a really nice way to balance out the game. And Sakurai even said that they're changing little moves in the characters that we already had in previous games, which makes also fresh, but still, in a way, those new moves that are implemented in the characters, such as the Legend, I would say the Legend of Zelda, Zelda, actually reward skill now. Like, you know, the side B she does, that's Venus Fire, she showed like she throws out the little sphere, ball sphere of fire, and then we, when you
yeah, stop, like Din's fire or whatever it was.
Yeah, now it has a sweet spot, and that sweet spot does more damage, but in exchange for that, the range of the attack is smaller. Now it rewards the skill a little bit more, and that's pretty fun. And now, for the longer time you hold B, the attack will do more damage, and little things like that, and that the little max shrug off system, and well, Rosalina's puppet master scheme.
I don't even know what she does. I just saw that
she plays out like a puppet master. So she's like a mix of Olimar and Ice Climbers. So she tells Luma kind of what disappointing to do.
For me anyway. I love playing like Mario Kart and stuff as Rosalina, and I like her character a lot.
Enormous in terms of scale. Isn't she like 5 times the height of Mario or something?
Probably. I don't know.
Or maybe not. I thought she was.
So it's pretty interesting because the main character, Rosalina, has a supportive role to her puppet, Luma. So the idea is, as a character herself, solo, she wouldn't be such a good character, but with Luma, she has a lot of potential for combos and for better range and etc. So that creates a lot of interesting scenarios for the game. And that's just impressive. And to stop talking about mechanics, and I've been just looking at the pictures of the game and how they've been putting new arenas that have been paying attention to balancing out the characters. It's just fantastic.
So do you like the graphics of the 3DS version or the Wii U version better? I think the 3DS version looks pretty nice. At first I thought it looked kind of hideous next to the Wii U version, but I love those black outlines, and I guess they're actually optional now too. Did you guys see that? You can turn them on or off.
I think they've always been optional. I think they added them to help facilitate, you know, being able to see them apart from the background, since
on a small screen.
Yeah, it's not so easily, but
if it's not in 3D, probably even more so, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, probably.
One thing to be said is that we are seeing this 3DS shots in a computer screen, so the resolution is different, but when you put it on the 3DS, it's probably going to look gorgeous. It's probably going to look very, very smooth.
I think look really nice as it is. And I like the way they did the stages. Like, the 3DS game is going to have the handheld sort of stages, like the Spirit Track stage and stuff like that, and the Wii U version will have different stages.
Have any of you guys ever seen a trailer or a video of Kid Icarus Uprising on YouTube? Because the game on YouTube looks sort of good, but doesn't look as nice. And the game looks just fantastic on the 3DS, and I think that will be the case with Super Smash Brothers. And people, although we're just talking how good it looks, maybe people are just upset that the game just doesn't look at all that nice, especially with the outlines off. Actually, the outlines, many people complain about those, but I would rather play with them on, because there will be cases that the screen just zooms in and out, and some characters may blend in the background, especially characters with a lot of green under the clothes, like Link, and with mountain landscapes and forests and such, colors that can easily blend in and confuse your eye, especially during frantic multiplayer matches.
In the 3DS game, I have a question about that. Is it like, is it the same as the console Smash Brothers, where it zooms out if people are far away from each other, or does everyone just keep their own view? Kind
of? I don't know if we know that yet. Honestly, because, I mean, we've seen a lot of screens from the 3DS, but I don't know really how much video we've seen.
Because I wouldn't think they would want the 3DS one to zoom out very much. So either they make the stages smaller, or they just let everyone have their own view since they have their own
view. Yeah, exactly. That, for me, that is one of the reasons they're keeping they're keeping the characters for both games, but the arenas are different, and because of that, they're going to take excuse and inspire them into their respective machines. So the Wii one will be inspired, the arenas and etc. will be inspired on console games, and the 3DS will be inspired on handheld games. That is
How about
also,
the release date? Is it like, are they releasing at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. I think Sakurai mentioned that they want to release the game at the same time, which is a bit of a concern, because it would be very cool if the Smash Brothers for the Wii U came out first, because that would make people want to buy the Wii U, because the 3DS is sort of a nice little excuse not to buy a Wii U.
The one thing that I'm actually pretty psyched about with it is they're focusing on handheld franchises to a degree. So, you know, you might get a Skyward Sword style level in the Wii U version, but you're going to get maybe a Spirit Tracks level in the, which actually we've seen in the handheld version. So those differences alone might make me personally want it, but somebody who might be more on the fence, they might have to rely on, yeah, just kind of saying, you know, I'm going to buy them as a bundle just to do it. Because they might play.
I think there's a bigger problem with Monster Hunter, because that was the exact same game on two different platforms. So, like, even though I wanted the 3DS version, if they had released that first, I would have bought that and then bought the Wii U version. But since they released them at the same time, I got the Wii U one and then I beat it. And now, even though I still kind of want the 3DS version, I'm like, why would I ever get that? Right. But these are different games, so.
Well, it has a little bit of the same. With those two games, though, the main difference was that the Wii U version had the online, right?
I mean, like, why would you ever want the 3DS version, kind of, with that, right? Except I think it meant
that's my opinion on that specific set of games. But a lot of people really loved the 3DS version. I guess, you know, if you want just the experience by yourself,
I don't mind single player Monster Hunter, but I mean, like, it's a little more limiting. But people say it actually ran better, which is surprising, on the 3DS.
Weird.
But yeah, but like for Smash Brothers. Do you really think it's the same audience that would get the 3DS version and the Wii U version? I mean,
well,
do you think you'd ever play them in the same scenario or situation?
Well, maybe. I think the 3DS one will be the main one in events. One thing that happens a lot of here is that we gather every month. We have a group here in my town, and we gather every month for street passes and all. And,
nice.
Probably every other time in the United States does that as well, but
nope.
People with 3DS will be playing the 3DS version more because when they would be playing the game home, they would want to play it outside of home. They want to play it everywhere because it's a different game. It's a pretty fun game. It's a very nice experience, and also there's the fact that the 3DS just is out there. More people have the 3DS than people who have Wii U, and that helps a lot. It's practical. It's there. More people have the 3DS, and I think
what do you guys usually play at those meetups?
We usually play Mario Kart a lot because, well, that's a fun thing. It's pretty funny because all the reaction and people screaming and yelling like, "Oh my no, the blue shell!" and stuff in Portuguese, and it's actually very hilarious. And we always meet up in the same mall. It's very fun. It's very good to see people getting together and having a great time. But it's not only Mario Kart, Pokemon X and Y. People are really into that. We are really into Pokemon here. And usually the new games, because there's always someone who got the newest game. And as I said before, games don't come cheap here. So people like to go there just to see what's the new game, what it's all about, if it's worth the buy or not. And yeah, it's pretty standard.
Cool.
Yeah, and I mean, my logic... You're probably right. My logic would maybe apply to those rare people like myself, maybe yourself, who would actually consider, you know, purchasing both. But they probably do have pretty different markets. There's a whole untapped potential in the handheld market that they've never gone to before with Smash Brothers. And, you know, Game Dad Grant, I know he's played a lot of Smash Brothers, but he's a huge handheld guy. I mean, that's kind of one of his things he's known for on the boards, and
he's also a great fighting game fan.
Right,
yeah,
pretty competitive games.
So Smash on 3DS is totally like fan service for a guy like him. And there's a lot of people out there who haven't had this before. So
that said, don't you wonder, like in the Western territories, how many people actually play multiplayer handheld games? Like on the GBA, it was kind of like nothing except for Pokemon with school kids and stuff.
But there also wasn't Wi-Fi on the GBA.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, for online, for sure, you could play from home, but I wonder.
Oh, you mean local?
Yeah, I wonder, like in the West, how much local multiplayer gets played? Because many cool modes that just go totally unplayed, like the Zelda Phantom Hourglass mode and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, as I just got older, you know, local multiplayer got harder to pull off. You know, as everyone's got their own agendas and everything. Nobody's, you know, got friends who just had nothing to do on Friday night but play, you know, GoldenEye and eat pizza, which sounds amazing to me still.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, but we'd never be able to pull it off. That's the thing. We'd all want it still at our age, but we just couldn't do it. Yeah,
that's because when you grow up, watching movies and consuming alcohol are the only socially acceptable forms of entertainment.
I don't know. So I guess that is going to be a question, but I think even more so than the Wii U version, which still has a lot of a lot left to be determined in terms of its Wi-Fi ability and its ability for multiplayer, especially non-local. But the 3DS is going to hinge on it, I think. Because even though you can take the 3DS anywhere you want, I see it just as unlikely for people to get together with the 3DSs as they would sitting around a Wii U to play Smash Brothers.
True. I actually want to get a Wii U because the Wii U version will obviously be the superior one, and I really want to get put into the big screen TV and get my friends
for certain people
and play the game until 8 a.m. or 2 days straight. I don't know if I can do that, but that would be much cool.
You can just leave it running to unlock all the characters for 200 hours or whatever.
I should have done that at some point, but
that'll be so cool.
But hey, if you guys don't mind, I think we should probably move forward in our topics just for the sake of time here. You know, there's gonna be many months, unfortunately, that it's not coming out that soon. But there's gonna be a lot more months to keep tapping into Smash Brothers discussion.
Is that this year?
Oh yeah, they've reconfirmed that they plan to get it out this year. So I'm guessing it's the holiday title. Now, so was Brawl until it got pushed into March, which was like the third pushback it had. But I'm still hopeful.
Yeah, have you guys heard about Sakurai, like his hands and stuff like that?
No. Early in development, like in 2011, you talk about that.
He has a carpal tunnel, or he has some kind of like hand problems. And you know how he used to test the game, the Smash Brothers games?
Yeah.
He would play against himself with a controller in each hand.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
I know.
They couldn't get an intern, for God's sake?
It's pretty awesome.
I would have done that job for free.
Supposedly he's like really good at Smash Brothers too. He's like pretty competitive. And so like he said, it's really hard for him to develop because he can't hold a controller sometimes. And it's even harder to hold two controllers, I assume.
So confirmed, Smash Brothers Wii U is going to be designed for two controllers, but in one player. It's going to have so many combos, you have to play with two controllers at once.
You have to use both sides of the gamepad at once. I wonder if it'll have any gamepad usage at all. Which brings us kind of to Mario Kart. One of my main beefs is Mario Kart.
That's sort of a segue, because I did want to talk about gamepad use on Mario Kart 8, but you know, jumping into Mario Kart 8 here, we just got a new trailer last night, and I mean, you joked off air, you know, if we stayed up for it. I certainly did. I didn't know what was happening, unfortunately.
You didn't hear the big news?
I knew nothing about it, no. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, hey, trailer, cool. So I got some sleep last night. they did show a lot of stuff, and I don't recall which was in a previous trailer, which one wasn't, but I did want to kind of just run down some things really quick that were kind of showcased. To start, there's something called a Spin Turbo,
looks awesome. That's the coolest thing I think I've seen from
you. Like it?
Yeah, because it seems like a skill-based, interesting, new, innovative kind of mechanic that separates a little bit.
And that kind of is kind of, I think the key aspect that you're supposed to take from it is that, you know, we've had boosts throughout the series, but this is intentionally meant to, you know, upon collision with either an object on the course or with another racer, when you're in anti-gravity mode, that is.
When you're only in anti-gravity.
Kind of spins, and does it spin them out?
I don't think it spins them out. I think it just spins you and boot. It sounds really weird. Like, I want to see it in action because it sounds totally
unintuitive. But it totally gives you a new, a new reason to chase down somebody
avoid somebody. Really cool.
Well, yeah. It's very interesting because up until this point, Mario Kart was all about getting yourself ahead, and if you ever would interact with the other carts, you would actually just make him keep him back. You were never interacting to just make yourself go forward. So you would never have actually take advantage of the other racer to make yourself achieve a better position. You would just make everybody stay behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the magnet in Diddy Kong Racing, if you guys remember.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's another item magnet in Diddy Kong Racing, which is the Piranha Plant.
Now that first of all, that breaks laws of physics, which I just thought was funny.
Because it gets bigger and you get faster.
No, I just the whole if something's chomping, it's riding with you, so it's part of your vehicle. So for it to chomp forward and that to give you a speed boost, that doesn't really make any sense.
It's chomping gravity, Steven.
That makes more sense to me then. But I totally had a nerd gravity moment and thought of Mythbusters and. When I read that. But yeah, the Piranha Plant acts like it does in Super Mario 3D World, but on wheels.
Yeah, that sounds pretty... And you also... It has the same thing. It's like the more people you eat, the faster you go, I believe.
Okay, I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
It's kind of similar to the other feature, right? That kind of, rocket your way through the ranks pretty fast thing.
Yeah. In the Spin Turbo, it's kind of like a pinball, where you're just kind of bouncing back and forth, trying to hit things, and almost like moving speed boosts. But in the
Piranha Plants, it eats people on its own. And actually, both of them are similar to Kirby Air Ride, in a way.
I never had a chance to play that. I heard it was pretty good.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's such a great game.
It is pretty cool. But a lot of people don't like it, and I can understand why. But it's pretty wacky. And it has a lot of interesting ideas, like automatic acceleration, which should always be standard as a feature, as an option at least. And it's like the sword in that it automatically attacked people and sped you up while you attacked them. Sort of like Piranha Plant.
Well, speaking of attacks, there's the other new item, which is the Boomerang Flower.
Yeah. You get to throw it three times, and it goes really far. It actually goes back, and it hits on the way forward and hits on the way back, which is so cool.
And you can throw it forward or backwards, up to three times, like you said.
Oh, you can throw it backwards and then it goes back forwards?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It doesn't seem like the most frustrating thing possibly in the world. Well, to be right in front of somebody and to be hit by a boomerang and then be like, all right, I'm about to recover, and then just be hit by it again on the way back.
Well, if they're going in a straight line, then yeah. That would be frustrating. Which is totally how people are going to troll each other now. but it's a pretty cool concept. I think it's going to add to the kind of skill you need. It adds to the skill aspect as opposed to the random aspect, because Mario Kart's got both for sure. But, you have to aim with the boomerang like you would a green shell, but you also have to, contemplate where the return trajectory is going to be.
Oh, so it's not actually that big? For some reason, I just assumed it would be like a super humongous boomerang.
Nope. It's like the size of a green shell. So that's so you can hit people, but say you're on a curve, in Toad's Turnpike, which was one of the revealed retro courses. That's kind of got a figure eight situation, so there's a lot of those big curves, and you throw it, and you'll end up, it's going to come back to you wherever you're at. So you can actually create an arc, and you can potentially hit multiple people.
That sounds pretty awesome. Yeah. And you get to throw it three times, right?
Mm-hmm. Before it disappears, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Actually, it's nice that they added some interesting new power-ups, because in the last couple of games, I feel like the power-ups they added were all kind of the spammy variety, like the POW block, which I think they dumped.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read that they dropped it.
I'm okay with lightning still existing if that exists, but...
They said it was a lot less frequent.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I kind of always hated those, whole race spamming items.
And what annoyed me about the lightning bolt is it was much more fun when you could lightning bolt someone across a jump, and then they would fall below. But after
and then they would lose half a lap of progress.
Right, but after Mario Kart 64, they stopped allowing you to, fall onto previous parts of the track. You would just transport back in most cases.
That was so broken, the way they had in Mario Kart 64, though. It was,
glorious.
If you were heading up to, a hill, you just had to stay at the front of the hill.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just waiting for the guy to kind of fake him out.
Yeah, Mario Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Mario Stadium was one of the big ones.
It was kind of funny, but it's kind of horrible.
That Yoshi one might have been another one that was pretty good for it. But yeah, no, Wario Stadium was pretty much the king.
And is that the same track where you can just right after the start line, you can just kind of tumble over the wall?
Hell yeah! And
I can't believe people remember that stuff fondly.
Oh, I sure do. It was fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, my cousin and I, we would have to set rules beforehand, like, you know, you can't do that this time, or you can. But it was also kind of hard to do, so pretty much if you could do it, just like in Rainbow Road, if you could actually launch your ass over to the left and land on the track, which I've done before, I've succeeded. But if you can do that, then, hey, that's fair game. Because typically, it takes so long to die when you do that trick in Rainbow Road that you'd be, you know, if you missed, you'd be screwed for the whole race. So it was kind of like, do you have the balls to do it? Like, do you feel lucky, punk, you know?
Rainbow Road is another one that was like, Rainbow Road 64, people have fond memories of that, but I just remember that track being so fucking long. It was like, each lap was like 2.5 minutes long.
No, it was pretty long, but...
That one was a little monotonous. That's the only problem there.
So slow.
You know, I probably should have said this at the beginning, but, you know, we are talking about the trailer, and there were things revealed. So anyone listening... You know, we are going to possibly talk about that stuff, so you may not want to listen if you don't want anything new to be discussed. That said, now that you mentioned Rainbow Road, that's one of the retro tracks as well, the N64 Rainbow Road.
I saw that. I was wondering if they would actually make it, like, bearable somehow. Like
what, if they made it more barren?
just longer and wider and just...
With just less like, stuff. Not even, like, stars. Yeah.
Like, a minute and a half.
Yeah, no, but they've really done a nice job with it.
I didn't see the new one. Does it look, you know, do you, oh, you know, sweet. The same track was an F-Zero X, but it, you race it at like 100 times the speed, so it's actually fun.
No, but, you know, I took a few notes when I was looking at a video of it. They, first of all, it's much more colorful. They've kind of added to the, I mean, it was a pretty colorful Rainbow Road in the first place, but they have added, color, they've added motion. There's a train that kind of goes along with you, like a flying Harry Potter train.
Is that like a galactic from something, or
not necessarily?
I don't recognize that, and that's a bit random.
Well, not
the
really.
The whole thing's random, right? What is Rainbow Road?
I mean, I think there's a Mario Galaxy level that had trains in it. I mean, that it just happens, you know.
Just trains just based fly. On a Mario
trains card. Happen. I got a shirt that says that.
It actually reminds me of, if any of you played Dragon Quest IX, there was a flying train that actually
looks
similar, but.
I'm going to stick
probably
with Harry
not.
Potter.
Probably not referencing Dragon Quest IX.
No,
maybe it's like that Nintendo 64 track, like 1,000 years in the future. What's one of the train running across it? The Nintendo 64 Mario Kart 64 track with a train.
Oh, that's Kalahari Desert.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Kalahari Desert has a train that goes across.
Yeah.
That might not even be the only one, but. No, but they've done a lot to the track, though. I mean, another thing that I noticed was the railing is no longer across the entire course, so it actually allows people to fall off.
That's good.
So that should make things more interesting. And then kind of like in the Rainbow Road remake from the last one, I think from Mario Kart 7, there's like a wavy part of the road.
Oh, that was the Super Mario Kart remake. I really like that one. That was pretty fun.
So that waviness is back. There's some chain chomp. That kind of bounce around on that part of the track. And then below at the bottom, underneath the track itself, there's like a city lit up, so you actually have some context instead of just like black.
I kind of like that. This is another game probably none of you played, but any of you play Jet Moto for the original PlayStation?
I did play Jet Moto, yeah.
Yeah? There was a track that did this. It was nighttime, and it was over a city, like suspended way up in the air. And... Looks
did you play? Did you ever play a game called F-Zero? There's every track in the game at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Jet Moto is pretty fun, actually. It had
Jet
that sort
Moto
of like
amazing.
Grappling hook kind of turn thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and if people played F-Zero, you'd think there'd be more of them.
Oh.
There actually are quite a few, so that doesn't
really
make sense.
I guess talking shit about F-Zero on a Nintendo podcast, you're just rubbing salt. The bloody wounds.
Everyone knows Jet Moto was superior to F-Zero.
Oh, I didn't go that far.
Actually, PlayStation, even though I'm not such a big fan of the library, they had some pretty good racing games, like Crash Team Racing. Did you guys ever play?
Oh my god, that game's amazing.
And I was a fan really good. Of Twisted Metal. I was into that.
Yeah, that game had weird controls.
It did.
Well, it was a weird game.
It's like up to accelerate, and you could do like combos and stuff in a strange game. And the other one was, what was it called? Oh, what were we talking about, Mario Kart? but Crash Team Racing, I think, is the best Mario Kart clone.
No, we were talking
about
Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Yeah, and Wipeout. That's the other awesome.
Crash Team Wipeout Wave Race 64.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, jumping back to what we're talking about, we kind of bounced around on some things here, but you know, let's stick on the tracks for a second, because we saw two other retro tracks, and I think actually, you know, I was going through a list that I found on like Go Nintendo or something, and then I realized I'm pretty sure I'm looking at every single level, and I was like, I gotta stop this video right now. So I didn't, you know, want to spoil everything for myself, but
it was too much. I was kind of like looking away from the screen at certain times.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize what was happening, but I guess they're going all out with media right now.
It's like a modern movie trailer. They just give away pretty much everything.
Right, right, which is kind of a shame. So there's only two other tracks that I looked at in detail, and there really wasn't much to say, but I do want to comment on how much effort they seem to be putting into remixing the retro tracks.
Are they actually retro tracks again? Is it Retro that's doing them? I wonder.
No, well, maybe, who knows?
They did Mario Kart 7. Yeah.
That's true. But no, I'm referencing the 16 Remix Classic courses, and you know they're doing another 16-16 split, as far as we know. And some of the other retro courses that we saw were actually from the N64 version, where Toad's Turnpike, as I mentioned before, is back. And that's actually, they've done a lot of cool things to spruce that up too, which really give me hope for the whole game, because you know Toad's Turnpike was a kind of a boring level. I had a lot of friends who liked it, but it was pretty standard. You know, it was just a figure eight, and there were some trucks and it actually took a while to get through each lap as well. Well, now
it seems like they're trying to legitimize all those N64 tracks that were slow and boring back in
right.
the day.
We didn't have the polygons to do this. We do now. but it's cool because some of these trucks and stuff have ramps on them. You know, they're like wreckers, you know, who tow trucks and stuff. And you can actually drive up them as boost. There's even like a small truck that had a surfboard hanging off the back that you could drive up. And then it gives you a little air time, and around all the big curves, you can actually go up on the wall and just bypass the trucks and use boost. But of course, you're going the widest possible route. So, you know, it kind of evens out.
It seems like it'll be pretty branching in general. There's like a bunch of different paths through every course.
And so what I took from seeing that is that, you know, people who didn't give a shit about this level in the first place probably won't love it today, but there's still a lot of effort being done to make sure it feels fresher.
What do you guys feel about the gliding and the underwater stuff?
I mean,
I feel it really comes together with the gravity thing. It's like when I saw the trailers, when I saw the gameplays of the game, I just thought to myself, why did they didn't have this in Mario Kart 7? And how incomplete Mario Kart 7 will feel compared to Mario Kart 8? It just seems something that is just so natural. Everything just comes together like speed racery.
In its defense, Mario Kart 7 did have gravity. It just didn't have anti-gravity. So
yeah, anti-gravity. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Joe, you were gonna say something?
Oh no, I was just kind of gonna summarize the fact that so now we've got the underwater propellers, we've got the anti-gravity, and we've got the gliding. So it's just kind of, they've got all the bases covered, I guess. I have still never figured out how to glide effectively. Do you guys know what
the trick is? I don't know how to glide
is?
Effectively, and I don't know what purpose of the underwater stuff is.
Because
happens.
Do you just when crash? I saw, no, it's just, I feel like I just lose speed. And well, I think that there's a way to use it to your advantage. Yeah, and when they showed the end of Rainbow Road, having that big glide, I was just like, oh, well, I guess I'm never winning that, because...
One thing you can do though is actually skip pieces of the track when you're gliding. That I can understand, but
right,
I agree with you. Like when they have the updrafts and stuff, it's like, am I actually gaining speed here?
Yeah.
It's like when you used to play F-Zero X, and the quickest thing to do is actually to just hit the ground as early as possible.
Sometimes that's what I do because I feel like at least on the ground I know how to go quickly. in the air, But yeah. I must be missing something.
I think
I can feel you, except for the being able to skip pieces of the track. That's
lot of the levels never really were designed to allow you to skip too much. So it never really felt satisfying to use that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully they've kind of rectified that, because there should be a plus to using it. It does feel like you slow down a bit.
I mean, and underwater is like the same thing, except without the joy of flying. It's just like... The dread of drowning.
Although you do have a weird like floatiness that makes it a little bit harder to control, I guess.
But what's actually fun about the underwater thing?
Fish.
Yeah, probably fish.
I mean, like, it's just kind of slow and kind of I don't understand what that really adds to the series.
I think all it adds is
surprise,
wackiness.
Yeah, like yeah, you don't know that, when yeah. you're gonna. Well, I mean, there's a level in this game that's kind of around a water park. It looks like kind of like the Koopa, almost like the Koopa's cape from the Mario Kart Wii.
Cape.
Yeah, and but it's a water park, so it's much more infused with water. And I think you just constantly are going in and out, not inside tunnels so much like you were with Koopa's cape.
I actually like Koopa's cape because it has the same thematic stuff, except you're not like actually driving through water.
Right, right. Well, in this one, I don't know. The cool angles have me won over for that. From what I saw. Which,
did you guys see? Like, first of all, have you guys played this game? Did you play it when they had the demos around?
Yeah, yeah, me and Game Dan Grant did at Best Buy.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played it also with the Site Overlord Zero, of course. But yeah, it was pretty fun. But a lot of people that were a tyrannical dictator. A lot of people were, they were kind of saying that the anti-grav, they couldn't really feel a difference because the camera was still fixed to the back of their car. Mm-hmm. So did you guys notice what they did now?
No.
Like, when you're using the anti-grav thing, or when you're on the side of a wall, they sort of tilt the camera. It's like a horror game or something like that.
Okay.
So it gives you that sort of, it looks pretty interesting, and it gives you a little more of that kind of vertigo kind of feel.
Because who doesn't want vertigo when they play Nintendo games?
Japanese people are going to be just throwing up.
Lucille 2. She's going to never play a Nintendo system ever
Lucille
again.
Lucille 2.
But, no, that's good that they did that, because I think that was a fair criticism, is that it, you know, it looks great in a trailer, but shit, you can't tell if you're still fixed behind them. But I also understand.
A lot of games are like that. Do you guys remember Extreme G?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you were going in loop-de-loops, and conceptually it's really cool, but when you're actually looking at the screen, it looks like you're just kind of driving down a road.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're doing that for the races, because obviously you can't have these crazy-ass angles when you're racing, because it'll be too disorienting to control. It'd be like drunk baby mode, you know?
Yeah.
But one thing that I thought I read today was that what they're doing is... I wish I had it in front of me. After each race, you're going to have the opportunity to see a highlight reel.
Oh, yeah, it's Mario Kart TV, they call it.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and it's like a highlight reel of just the coolest moments of your race, whether it's an attack or just a cool power slide or something. And then, of course, it's got neat angles and everything. And then you can actually share those with friends, like, online, which I think is a pretty badass thing
to
do.
Yeah, this is their bid to compete with Sony and Xbox having, like, Twitter, not Twitter, what's it called? Twitch TV and all that stuff.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that kind of stuff, including Twitter, it's like, I can understand why people want to share, because everyone's an egomaniac, but I don't understand why anyone else gives a shit.
I'm laughing because it's true.
No, but really, like, I don't understand the culture of, like, hey, let's watch this guy play a game.
Well, you know what?
It's almost like having fun.
Well, watching people play games that's been a topic on the show before, actually, and that's a whole other bag of worms, but...
bag of worms.
Or whatever
that's,
the phrase
that's
is.
That's not a thing.
I like bag of worms.
Bag of worms?
If you what have a bag of worms, that's
hey, I'm a, I grew up fishing, all right? Fuck you.
Yeah.
What's the phrase, then? Bag of what?
Can of worms.
Can of worms.
I really like bag of worms. Let's just
bag
switch
of,
it right now.
Bag of
you know,
bones?
Before modern machining... and aluminum, there was bags of worms, so yeah. Suck it.
Can you imagine if it was like a paper bag, like how quickly that bag would just disintegrate? And you'd
like
just
a soggy
like
bag of worms.
The
worms would eat their way out.
Disgusting.
They'd be made, the bags would be made of those recyclable manuals we now get in our games.
You can fish your way out of a bag of worms.
Oh my gosh, this is, anyway, what was I going to say now? Yeah. I have no idea.
There is bags a bag of worms. I think that's what you're
Oh, fuck it. Who cares? Okay.
No, it's actually something interesting.
Bags of worms. I don't recall, so whatever. You know, let me jump to something else. One observation that I want to throw out some kind of a theoretical question to you guys. The one quick thing I want to mention that was pretty cool was... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a triple, you know, I probably am wrong, a triple mushroom, has that ever been something that rotated around your cart, or has that always been something that just sat in your slot?
No, I think first of all, this is a new thing with the weapon system. Mm-hmm. You can only hold one item at a time, and you can't drag
it. Yeah, exactly. I was going to talk about that, but I was holding
myself. But you can't drag,
I don't think you can just like You know, I think that's a good thing. Like, Double Dash was like that too. A lot of people like, which games in the series do you guys like, and which did you not like as much, recent games in the series?
I mean, I liked them all, except Double Dash was just different, I guess. And then I didn't really care for the GBA one. Super Circuit. Oh, yeah.
How come everyone hates Super Circuit so much?
Controls are weird.
Yeah.
And they're impossible to go back to now. Well, I never care for that one either.
Yeah.
Blasphemy. But I don't know. What else do you guys think?
I like Double Dash a lot because it's so different. Yeah. And I hated Mario Kart Wii. And what? The things that bug
The guy yeah. who's excited right now for this what? One is like, I
yeah, the things that bug me about this one, Mario Kart 8, are the ways in which it is like Mario Kart Wii.
Sure, it's which like, is like half of it.
Yeah. And the other half is like Mario Kart 7. I don't know. It's like Mario Kart Wii was like, they made the tracks really wide to accommodate 12 players.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they really sacrificed local multiplayer for the online multiplayer because like the frame rate really took a hit in local multiplayer split screen. And the same thing is happening with this one. I guess it's 60 frames per second in two player split screen. But when you play four player, it goes down to 30 frames per second, which is like...
Yeah. Imagine the 120 frames a second when you play by yourself.
No, but seriously, it makes such a difference in a racing game. It's like a huge difference. In
no, shooting. I know. I'm just messing with you.
Like, in Double Dash is like, it's so fast in even four player. It's like 60 frames per second, and that made it fun in local multiplayer. But these games, I feel like when you play local, they're just kind of like, it's sluggish and you're kind of irritated by the sluggishness. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think
it does make a difference. I really like the smoothness of 60 frames per second. It's just so attractive and fluid and smooth.
Yeah, I mean, and like, if you have to give something up, just give it up. Like, you don't need all that bloom on everything. Like, why is everyone glowing?
Carlos Rocks is all pissed at you for saying that.
No, but aren't these Wii and this one, they're so bloomy.
It's cool, though. It looks good.
It looks all right, but, you know, you can sacrifice in split screen for a player.
Blooming Mario Kart.
Blooming Mario Kart.
It's good. It's all right. Could be better.
And Mario Kart 7, I thought,
yeah, was
fantastic, like, just in terms of mechanics, like, fundamental mechanics. But the there wasn't as many different modes and stuff, but I thought the actual racing was really fun.
What's that, John?
No, I was going to talk about the items, because you can now only hold a single item. You can now, like, hold an item in your hand or on your back and have an item in your box in the back just waiting for you to use. So that creates a whole new perspective in the item usage of the game, because, well, item usage is one of the main things that make you a better player than the others, and, well, it really separates the good players from the players that weren't so good, because if you just use all your items right away, then you take away an opportunity for you to defend yourself and just guarantee you a nice position. So one thing people often did, people who were good markers as me, as I'm a mastermind, who's also known as Mikey, we used to play Mario Kart together all the time. One thing we used to do is we would not use items. It was just pressure. We would just get coverage in races. And, well, it was fun. The races were fun, but as far as item usage goes, using items wasn't as much fun because we wanted to win. And, well, now that we cannot hold as many items, that is also an incentive for you to use your items before getting to another item box, which makes pretty much every race between not as good people and good players frantic and animated and fun.
We could hold five, but okay.
No, but that's the thing is that if you're a really good Mario Kart player and you have like two stars or something, I guess you can have two stars, but you know, you have three red shells and a star, then you're basically unbeatable. You're going to win the race, you know? But the way they do it these days, like, if you have lightning or somebody hits you, you lose your items. I like a little better because you can't just hold on to your items and assure yourself of a victory.
Yeah? Yeah, but one thing I like is that this is not just a balancing measure because, well, good marker players also get screwed over by the many other elements of the game, like blue shells and lightnings and stars and etc. But the thing is, this makes the game more fun. It makes using items something more frequent
It makes the game more satisfying. The feel of the game, which is something very important, is what I see is a very nice thing for them to prioritize. It is a welcome change for me in Mario Kart.
I would think it always would make you use less items because you always have to have one in case somebody fires something at you because you can't just drag it behind you.
But the thing is, if you don't use your items, there will come item boxes and people will get to throw things at you because they'll keep using the items that you're not, and there will be some point that you just didn't use an item that could no you just didn't use an item which would have given you the opportunity to get another item box that would give you an item that would be useful in a specific situation, such as, well, somebody has triple red shells and you had a banana, you were holding that banana and you didn't know the person had triple red shells, so you could just toss off the banana, get an item box and get a raccoon tail or
it's just gonna be another banana
or whatever. Yeah, sure, but, you know, chances.
Never bring a banana to a gunfight.
Playing Mario Kart is like playing poker. It takes skill, but it also takes a bunch of luck, so you play a round of chance a little bit too much. I really like comparing those, Mario Kart and poker.
It's a fair comparison, I would say.
Wasn't Excitebots closer with its poker mode? I still haven't played it online. And I still haven't played it online.
You could make a sandwich or something.
Yeah. You can't make a sandwich. It's a super sandwich.
I don't even know what that means in the context of the game. I just know there were sandwiches.
That game is fucking crazy. It's pretty hilarious.
People liked it.
It's just so wacky. It's hard not to like it. Anyway, back to Mario Kart.
Yeah, let me interject. One more item related thing, because I actually said my whole point before, but the triple mushrooms, they now circle the car, which, do you guys recall if they did that beforehand?
They did not, only for the
Right. Well, that's what I thought.
There's an exceptional case in Mario Kart 7 that once you get the seven items. all the base items will just spin around you, and there was a mushroom.
But I think this is like Sorry.
Yeah, this is the first time the triple mushrooms will just orbit and your card.
It's a bastard move, but I love it because now it makes it even more tense to make sure you stay away from people, you know, when you're carrying them.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
One thing I love to do in Mario Kart 7 was actually to steal people's stars from the 7.
Yeah. I think the biggest asshole move is when you're playing battle mode. And nowadays you can just speed into people and steal their balloons.
Yep.
and then it's like wearing their skull on your outfit or something. You just like have their colored balloon sitting next to your balloons.
When you, me, Kuvaps and Zero all met up last year, that's pretty much the method of choice I used to kick Zero's ass a little bit in Mario Kart. Just kept ramming him with the boost.
That's just picking on the weak, Steven.
Well, yeah, what can I say?
But it was pretty awesome.
So, man, there's so much more to talk about. We're kind of running out of time, but a couple kind of things I wanted to throw out there with you guys. We now know 27 characters that are in the game, which, you know, a lot of the traditional ones, baby versions of some of the characters. We know all of the Koopa Kids. And then there's three more revealed today, which I won't even say, because if you haven't seen them, you know, I won't spoil it for you. But how many do you guys think that there's going to be? I mean, I don't remember how many were in.
How many do you need, really? I thought it was hilarious when I read the feature list of new features, and two of the bullet points were maybe Baby Daisy is back, and Baby Peach is back.
I mean, that seems kind of redundant to me, but then again, I don't know. Well, I hope that Baby Park, or maybe that was even confirmed as a retro track, but it'll be cool to maybe use them there. But I don't know. I think the more characters, the merrier, just because, you know,
why not?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're not super unbalanced, like Dry Bones and the Dry Bones Mobile or something.
Right. Which he's not confirmed yet. I would like to see him back because Dry Bones has always been a favorite of mine. But
Dry Bones was one of my favorites on the Wii version.
Rainbow.
I mean, as I said before,
I'm a Dry Bowser. Isn't he confirmed too?
He was pretty. Oh, I don't know. Was he? Is he confirmed?
I think so.
He's not.
I don't really care for Dry Bowser. I care most for King Boo because now he's an established character. He appears in front of boss in both Luigi's Mansion games. So we really like to see him with his trademark crown for Luigi's Mansion there.
You know, I did use him quite a bit back in the day. That's a good point.
I want to see the crazy dead baby from the first Luigi's Mansion.
What?
You remember that? There was a boss that was like a baby that was killed in
its infancy.
That's right.
Man, I should go back and play that game.
Getting sick,
but I don't want that as a kart racer. An obstacle on the course, maybe. But wow, that got nothing. Okay. I don't know. I'm thinking that if we know 27, maybe 28 with the Dry Bowser thing, if that's true, or you know, 29 with Dry Bones. I'm thinking.
You have to imagine what is going to lay evenly across the screen.
Was Bardock right. Confirmed?
Not that I know of. Although,
you know,
maybe, see, now I can't tell. I'm second-guessing myself. I don't know if I've seen her in a trailer or him in a trailer.
Him, Steven.
Her, him.
I don't. What would Mop It Up do if there's no Birdo? That's her person.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is the same joke I told, I think, last podcast, that Roy Koopa will be all set.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you're right about things having to be even across. And so right now, with my count anyway, 27, hypothetically, I mean, that divides evenly by 9, so...
Have they said if the Miis are going to be in there? Have we seen that yet?
He'll definitely be there.
I think so, yeah.
I would think so.
I mean, I don't really recall, but... do you guys want them in there?
I don't. I mean, I don't care. I kind of,
well,
yeah. Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't mind the Miis. I think it's a very fun little addition. Especially for kids and adults who want to play Mario Kart and like to see their faces and all. They just don't relate to the characters and just like to see the wackiness of their faces while racing around. But also, there's the fact that the voice acting in Mario Kart Wii
for the
was like, yeah!
Terrible.
All right!
Man, you're giving them too much credit in that rendition.
What if that was obnoxious? They came up with the Mario Kart 7. It was just gibberish. It sounded like a Tamagotchi. I don't know.
I really want you to record a whole podcast with that voice, though. Not gonna lie.
And with that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I think the best Nintendo voiceover ever is Toad's voice during Mario Kart 64 when Toad gets hit. It was like it was just like a yell of anguish from the pits of hell. It was just awesome. My friend always used to pick Toad, and it just made it so much more satisfying. Take him down.
My girlfriend should be here to stand up for him.
You know, actually, the best minigame in that new Mario Party 3DS game is a game where you imitate Nintendo characters, and whoever does the best imitation wins the game.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Interesting.
I would fucking crush you guys. I will.
Challenge accepted.
This Sunday.
So, now that you've threatened us, let's move on to, there's two different ways you could go with this, I guess. There's two things I wanted to kind of mention. You know, the gamepad is obviously a big feature of the Wii U. At least it's supposed to be. I guess how big it is kind of dependent on, you know, the individual using it and judging it.
The amount of negative answers are winning. This is being taken out of everything.
But I'm not really sure exactly how they're using it at this point, except I know that off-TV play is confirmed.
Off-TV play and also a horn and also a mini-map.
The horn's still there, because the horn was there when I was playing this last year.
Yeah, I mean, people keep complaining about the horn. It doesn't really matter. It's not a bad, a bad thing.
As long as it's not replacing something.
Justified.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, on off-TV play, if you're playing split-screen, it shows like a fucking split-screen on your gamepad. Like, that's the one thing they should have, like Sonic Racing had, is when you're playing two player, one person has the gamepad, one person has the TV, like the entire thing, right?
That is true.
How could they possibly leave that out? This is like what I mean when I feel like they emphasize online multiplayer and graphics over local multiplayer now. You know?
Well, let me do you one better. I wish that they had the foresight to do like what's the damn word now? What the hell? Asymmetric gameplay.
You sure you're not looking for a bag of worms?
yeah. Why don't they have a bag of worms here for us? You know,
that's gonna be the secret new item. It looks like a horn.
Mario just dumps out a bag of worms, or no, he just holds the bag of worms out, and then the bottom falls out, and the worms fall into the course.
What a gross concept, a bag of worms. God, that's eerie.
Well,
you know what? I could take it even worse because of a Louis C.K. Joke, but I won't go into it.
In Mario Land, it'd be like a bag of Wigglers or something, though. Which there you is go. So bad.
that's like a bag of caterpillars.
And then you drive over them and they turn red and get all pissed off.
or they go all squishy and gross. You know, actually, I do like how the split screen is down the middle and vertical. On a widescreen TV, at least, it makes for a better picture. Yeah, right?
That makes sense, I think.
Well, what I was going to say about the asymmetric gameplay was, you know, Nintendo Land did a bit of that, and wouldn't it be sweet if they could use the gamepad to play as, like, Lakitu and throw objects onto the course while four other people are racing.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
Steven, there are an infinite amount of super fun things I could do with a gamepad, as shown by Nintendo Land. Yeah, the first game that ever came up with the system, but everyone sort of rejected it, and now I'm not going to do it anymore.
Why, though? What? Nintendo Land's such a great game.
I know, it's so fun, like that ghost thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, every time I bring that out at a party or something, I'm just like, oh my god, this is so amazing. They're crying, Steven. It's so fun.
No, but I really kind of had hopes that maybe they would have the foresight to do something like that. And I guess we don't know yet officially, but I doubt it.
A lot of people used to pit, like, when Sonic Racing came out, they were like, oh, this is better than Mario Kart. It's so much better than Mario Kart. I don't know if I go that far. But it's pretty decent, and at least you can play two people, you know, one on the gamepad and one on the TV. It also has five players, although it runs like absolute shit.
Sure.
And it also has asymmetrical multiplayer modes, which are also absolute shit, but it has them.
But we have a horn, so at least that trumps it.
Honestly, that horn thing, I always thought it was so overblown. Like, whatever. I don't... Like, even the Donkey Kong Country thing, who cares if the screen is blank? You know, like, I don't want to see a little screen. If I'm watching the TV, I don't want some extra light source from right below my face.
Well, my only gripe with that was just that it still eats up controller life. You know, I wish they would have just turned the controller off.
They did, right?
No, like, I mean, isn't it just a black screen, but it's still on?
Does it project black?
I think it kind of does. Yeah, I think it... No, I'm sure that... I haven't played it in, like, honestly 2 weeks, but I'm pretty sure it does.
That would be a little lame if they didn't save the battery in that process.
I mean, it still would save the battery to a point, but not nearly as much as if it was just off. But
I will say, I actually give them a lot of credit for being... I think the word might be brave enough to not have anything on the gamepad screen, because if it's not necessary, then just don't do it, right? I mean,
yeah, no, that's fine.
Hey, a lot of people would have said that about the Wii U, so shut up.
What do you mean?
If it's not necessary, why do it?
Well, no, that's exactly.
I'm just ripping on it. That's all. No, I'm ripping a bag of worms open on this shit.
I think the
I'm gonna open a bag of worms in your ass.
Okay.
All of you.
What? What is happening?
Oh, whoop ass. Okay.
We never know.
I see. That was a very mixed metaphor, and the results were iffy at best. Anyway, I was going to say, you know, just like motion control before it, it's like, there shouldn't be this pressure to, like, every single game has to make some, you know, statement about the innovative use of this technology, of this tool. It should just be like, well, when it makes sense, you use it. If it doesn't make sense, you don't use it.
That's totally true. You know? I feel like, yeah, like the old Nintendo systems used to be built around, they used to say they built the controls around Mario. But these days, they just throw in like 1,000 control methods. Mm-hmm. And it's like, use whatever you want, kind of, right?
Well, I mean, to me, it's like, could you imagine if a game came out and someone was like, oh, they don't even use the shoulder buttons? It's like, well, they didn't need the shoulder buttons, and no one cares, you know?
Yeah, and they get knocked in reviews for that stuff, and then they'll get knocked in reviews if they do use it, and people don't approve of the usage. I feel like it's kind of like, they're kind of up shit creek, because people don't really want to try new stuff in general. I don't know, I feel like the Wii really gets a bad rap, but it doesn't really deserve, the Wii U, rather.
It's true. I was in class on Monday, and my students, so I teach a video game design class, and I try to keep my personal gaming habits just out of the conversation. I don't know why, but so at one point before class, they're like, so, like, what's the last game you played? And I was like, you know, I played the newest 2D Mario. And they're like, oh, what system is that on? And I said, it's on
Super Nintendo.
These were the two students in the class who like have the least experience with the game.
Okay,
so anyway,
fair enough.
And so I was like, that's on Wii U, and they were like, oh,
just like fuck them, jeez.
the one of them actually was like, yeah, I had a Wii U and I returned it. I was like, oh,
you know, that's probably bullshit.
Really, gamers?
Yeah, it has to be.
I feel like that's just something that they would say that somebody, you know.
I don't know how many people actually own it and don't like it. I think most of the people that sort of shit on it just have never tried it and wanted to die for some reason. And I mean, it's like the Wii. The Wii was basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. Even when it was doing well, everyone's like, it's going to fail. No, nobody's going to support it. And then nobody did support it. And then it failed. I mean...
Yeah, I don't... To me, it's like, I don't care how you slice it. You can't call the Wii a failure, for goodness sake. It was like...
No, it was a huge success for a while, but the last couple of years were, like, not very much support. I mean, compared to how much success it should have had, how much support it should have had based on success, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other topic itself, but they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. Yeah, I don't think there's much of an answer to that anymore.
Yeah, but, like, I actually enjoy those sort of innovative... control methods and the gamepad stuff. I want them to do more of it, but I feel like they're just going to do less and less of it as time goes on.
Heck yeah.
Well, alright guys, we probably should start wrapping it up. So I wanted to shoot out just simply two questions to you guys really quick, kind of rapid fire, to each of you about Mario Kart. First, I want to know who you would want, or I guess who you plan on racing as in this game, and if you could pick a retro track to be in this game, even if it's been in one recently or whatever, just actually, you know what, screw that, put it in the framework of what's your favorite track, if you you know, try to pick one. Okay, so who you're going to race for or race with and your favorite track from Mario Kart. Let's go with John first.
Okay, I would pick Iggy Koopa because I think he's the best Koopling ever. I just like him so much. The wacky glasses, and in New Super Mario Brothers Wii, they gave him this special personality and laughing and making the smart one who did all the engineering, and he was like the smart boss who didn't attack the brothers directly. I just like the character, so I would love racing with him. I like his voice, I like his style, so that's all that matters when I'm playing a card game. And my favorite track would have to be Shigeru Falls. I really liked the concept of it. I really like how it looked. It just looked so cool. I just like the idea of going up and down waterfalls and the cool little nitpicks and details it had, like the Shy Guy's mining stuff. And I don't know.
Why do I not remember that course? Which game was that from?
I don't remember either.
Was it from the Game Boy Advance or something? Because I never played that one.
No, Shy Guy Falls is the one from Mario Kart 8.
The new one. Well, okay, now just to reiterate, you can choose from any of the games. Although, if this is still your favorite one, that's fine by me.
I was thinking about... Yeah, because when you asked me the question, I thought, well, maybe I could talk about the other tracks that I didn't really like, but I would really like to talk the ones that called my attention about Mario Kart 8. And out of them, there are the old ones, the retro ones, and out of them, the ones that really stand out was the Rainbow Road one, but out of the new ones, the one that really, I thought to myself, well,
this one will be definitely my favorite in this game.
Well, fair enough.
The one in White Shadow Falls.
And that's cool that, you know, another example of levels just kind of hyping you up, hyping us up. Glad to hear it. So let's go with Anand.
I'm going to pick Morton Koopa Jr. because he's the most archaically named Koopa who no one would even realize what the source material is. I think I like Ludwig. Is that his name? Ludwig von Koopa or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he looks pretty hilarious and awesome. And
he looks awesome, yeah.
His hair is purple. And for the track, I would say, I guess Baby Park, as long as I can use giant green shells on it and giant banana face.
All right. And luckily, I think that both those levels, obviously, you know, John's will be, but I'm pretty sure both those levels are going to be in the game, so good deal.
I don't.
Joe?
For me, my entire life is one perpetual year of Luigi, so I would be sticking with my green friend Luigi.
Baby Luigi. Oh, sorry.
Yoshi? Yeah.
This
bag of worms.
And then for the tracks, it's kind of funny. I kind of have two standards. So my one favorite track in terms of the one that my skill seems to like triple on is N64 Bowser's Castle. For some reason, I'm like, you know, mediocre to decent as an overall Mario Kart player, but on that track, I do okay. So, but as far as the one that's just the most fun, either of the ones on Woohoo Island from Mario Kart 7, for some reason, when I played, I guess it was Wii Sports Resort, was that the game with the, where you fly the plane around?
Yes.
Yeah, there's two of them, Pilot Wings 2.
Okay, and true. I should really play Pilot Wings because just flying around that friggin' island, I enjoyed it so much that now to have the opportunity to race around them in Mario Kart, just,
dude, you will love Pilot Wings.
Yeah, actually, the flying mode of that, not the jetpack so much or other things, but actually flying the plane in that game around Woohoo Island was the sole reason I wanted that Pilot Wings game, and it was awesome.
I mean, every event is also on Woohoo Island.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though. You like it.
Yep. What about you, Steven?
Well, this is a pretty... Well, unfortunately, I'm going to cop out and... I don't know. I don't really want to pick one. But, no, I guess I'm going to stick with Rosalina. Although, damn, it's really close to Lakitu, which I always loved Lakitu. But
I'm so bad with the heavies, though. Him? She's a heavy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to play as them, though. Like, it was always Dry Bowser or her back in the Mario Kart Wii days.
Yeah, you said King Boo, right?
And King Boo, yeah, yep.
You can drive as Lakitu?
In this game... Oh, sorry, I guess that was one of the things that I said I wasn't going to mention. But
Who's going to pick you up, then?
I think another Lakitu. I'm not sure.
Lackluster from Paper Mario?
I'm not really sure. I thought Lakitu
you could
was...
You play as Lakitu in Mario Kart 7, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oops.
It's a tough call, but probably Rosalina would be number one, and then the tracks.
That's my Rosalina impression.
That's pretty
okay.
Good.
No.
Now do a Luna impression or Luma. Very nice.
Best I got.
That's on record for life.
Now do Toad.
Now do a Luma and a Toad fighting.
I can't.
Oh, please work on that.
Now, my wife is giving me a dirty look because her favorite of all time is Toad, and she probably thinks my impression is not up to snuff.
That's my girlfriend's too. So,
yep. She says no. I didn't do it good enough.
We'll tell her to do one herself.
Yeah. Never do it.
Amy, shout a quick Toad impression.
That was good. That was good.
All right, that was the day Toads no longer ceased to be.
There it is. That's enough.
Yeah, tell her one. We only asked for one. Thank you very much.
She's very enthusiastic about Toad. She was actually, we were watching the trailer, today's trailer, and she was very upset that, in her words, there was no Toad focus.
There's a whole gif of the Toad focus in the Moo Moo Farm video.
Yes, I showed her that, actually, as a matter of fact. Showed her that later, but anyway.
I Toad Focus Nintendo Direct coming out.
Honestly, not to sidetrack, but partially because my girlfriend's so in love with Toad, I think that there should be a, not necessarily a year of Toad, but there should be like a Toad-based platformer. Just one.
Oh, man, you know, that could why be not? Interesting. Just it could be like have a lemmings like a lemming slant where you've got all these toads that you need to guide or something.
There you go, maybe.
I didn't know that Toad was such a ladies' man. This is a new
It's the best. It's the best.
It's pretty incredible stuff. Love LL Cool Toad. Cool
Toad. Anyway, so going back to my answer, I'm gonna have to go with my favorite for. Forever, Koopa Troopa Beach. I just always love.
That's an excellent one.
I love that track. I love the music, the jump.
Which one? The Nintendo 64 one or the one from?
Oh yeah, the N64 one. The one where it actually takes effort to get into that cave, for sure.
Friggin',
yeah. Not that I'm actually that good at it, but I do love it. I mean, Maple Tree Way is a close second, but Koopa Troopa Beach, hands down. And
you
it was
like the music in Mario Kart in general.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I dig it.
Like, even the recent entries?
I really like this song in Koopa Beach.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. And the Bowser tracks are usually pretty good.
You know, I thought the N64 soundtrack was pretty solid, even though some tracks reused the same songs, but it was well done.
I still think Super Mario Kart is the most iconic kind of tracks for some reason.
I think the original.
Yeah.
So they, some of those could use a... Could use a callback. Some of the, I don't know. Maybe now they're too boring because they're all flat, I suppose. But
oh, those I actually love those retro tracks. Like when they bring them back and they're kind of flat, but they kind of have little.
Oh, you mean the Super Nintendo ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shit. I mean, if this was a video podcast, it'd be easier. But there's video of one of those Super Nintendo tracks, and they've done a ton of stuff to it. I mean, you still have those colored blocks to outline, just like you'd see in the original Super Nintendo version, but they've added a lot more, you know, 3D flair. They're still relatively flat. You'll definitely notice that. But they've taken a lot of effort to modernize it, and it looks great.
I wonder if you could ever possibly drive on, like, the wall on a Super Nintendo track. Probably not.
I mean, the wall would be one block high. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just the curb. You could drive on the... Like Goggles Paisano.
Like who?
Is that the French guy?
Nice. Goggles Paisano is when Fred Flintstone was a secret racer, and he used to put on the goggles, and he called himself Goggles Paisano, and he would drive on the wall.
Okay.
I see. Oh, yeah, completely not what we were thinking.
I was thinking of that real-life Mario Kart
game. Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about. Oh, man, what a fun ride Paisano this has been.
And kids.
Yep.
You know, I guess we should probably, to wrap this up...
To, wrap up.
You know, yeah, put this in park, you know, so to speak.
Sure.
And I guess, you know, I'll go through the usual spiel, you know, to kind of tell you that please comment on what you've heard here today on negativeworld.org. You just got to find the thread associated with the episode. I think there's a lot of awesome points. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, hatred, anything you might have. You just got to find that thread. And if you don't want to subscribe to Negative World, you can reach us through the Facebook page. Just got to search for negativeworld.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter at @negative_world. I don't know. We love fan feedback, and we love, you know, just letting the discussion continue beyond the podcast. So, I don't know. But, you know, thanks, John. Thanks, Anand. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Amy's Toad or something.
No worries.
That was not from this house.
Thank you, Toad. Thank you, Bag of Worms. Thank you,
hello!
That was off air, but thank you, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yep.
See, the other hello I could have done is the, I can't remember her name anymore, but from The Mighty Boosh, the episode with the Hitcher. Now? I'll explain to you off air. But, if I was to do it now, it would make no sense. All right, well, yeah, thanks, guys, for everything, and John, I know for you it's especially late right now, so, you know, get your rest, man, and, you know, we'll have you on the podcast another time.
Well, sure. no worries there. It's midnight, it's a bit past midnight over here, but The problem is I'm pretty awake.
I wonder if, Steven, you know how the time zones work? I mean, Brazil...
He's 2 hours ahead of us, and it's 11:30 here.
So, well, yeah, but... Well, now wait. Never
mind. It's right under us. Everything's under us.
I guess...
I live in hell.
I guess technically Canada's under us if you go far enough.
Yeah. That's but, true.
Anyway, I'm going to go learn how my time zones work. And, you know, you guys have a good one. We'll catch you in a couple weeks. That's a whole nother bag of worms.